this chair.
Take time to bless his name.
Amen.
And saints, we've come this evening, we want to just bless his name. I'm sure that's your desire as well.
Amen.
Okay. Brother Maxwell's friends are here. Who's visiting? God bless you. The visitors. Amen. It's good to be with him. Amen. Let's open Luke chapter 2, saints. Let's get a thought just to come before the Lord. You know, David in the Psalms, when he was away from the house of the Lord, he said, when shall I come to appear before God? He didn't say, when shall I come back to the tabernacle? When shall I come back to be amongst the brethren? Although he loved those things, but he says, when shall I come to appear before God? And that's what a believer desires. We haven't come here to be seen of each other. We haven't come here. It's nice to see one another, but the heart's desire of a believer is you want to be seen of God. And the wonderful thing is when you see him, he sees you. Because we're before his face. So we've come to see the Lord tonight, each of us. An individual interview. Let's read Luke 2:25. Just a reminder from the scriptures once again. And behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. And the same man was just and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel. And the Holy Ghost was upon him. And it was revealed unto him by the Holy Ghost that he should not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. And he came by the Spirit into the temple. And when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him after the custom of the law, then took he him up in his arms and blessed God and said, Lord, now lettest thy servant depart in peace according to thy word. For mine eyes have seen thy salvation, which thou hast prepared before the face of all people, a light to lighten the Gentiles and the glory of thy people Israel. Verse 36. And there was one Anna, a prophetess, the daughter of Phanuel of the tribe of Asher. She was of a great age and had lived with her husband 7 years from her virginity. And she was a widow of about 84 years, which departed not from the temple, but served God with fastings and prayers night and day. And she coming in that instant gave thanks likewise unto the Lord and spake of him to all them that looked for redemption in Jerusalem. And when they had performed all things according to the law, they returned into Galilee. Let's bow heads. Father, we thank you once again for your word. Father, how we long to fellowship with you once again. Father, bringing ourselves before thee, Lord, just wanting each and every one of us to submit ourselves unto thee. Father, when we let go, you can do wonderful things. Father, to let go, to let God have his wonderful way. Father, you are the same yesterday, today, and forever. And how glad we are of that, Lord. You are the same one who led Simeon. You are the same one who led Anna. You are the same one that leads us as your sons and daughters, Lord, because sons of God are led by the Spirit of God. So thank you, Lord, that you've led us to this place upon this evening, Lord. And Father, we know that if you lead us somewhere, Lord, there's a purpose in your leadership, Lord. And Father, we know that there's always good things when you are involved. Father, you always desire to leave behind the blessing. So Lord, you do pray for your people that have gathered this night. Won't you be with us, Lord, right from the beginning, right to the end, praying for them that haven't managed to come this night. Watch over them, Lord. Keep them. May we be with them on Sunday, we pray, in every request that we have. Father, we bring it before thee upon this evening, Lord, just wanting to seek and ask and pray that, Lord, our, Lord, situations that we face up to, Lord, that these may be your opportunities, Lord, to show yourself alive. Father, that is our desire. Bless your word to us. Help us, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. You may be seated, saints. I'm sure everybody has certain portions of scripture that you like to read. And I really love this story about Simeon. Because there's something real special about Simeon. Simeon speaks very much about our day. Because this was the last days of Israel. This is when Israel got into their lukewarm condition. Israel had got so traditional in their worship. Israel was leaning so much onto the traditions of men and all those things when Jesus came and he said, you bring in the word of God to none effect because of the traditions of man. It was a lukewarm age when Jesus came. Now that was the first coming of Christ. We're living in the time of the second coming of Christ, but it's the same conditions once again. The people would go to the temple, the churches were full, but there were not very many people as it was then, as it is now, that were really walking with God. That really had a reality. But God always has a witness. God always has a remnant in every age. God will never be left without a witness. No matter how people get away from God, no matter how much churches lose focus, people, we know the religion of this day is the religion everybody's trying to see the blessings they can get from God. We know that's the focus of modern day religion, which is 100% opposite to New Testament Christianity. New Testament Christianity, they were trying to see how much they could give away. They're bringing everything, distributing it to the poor, helping one another, ministering to the needs of the needy. But we've come to a stage now in our age where people have got away from New Testament Christianity. But God will always have people. The prophet says God will always have people that he can put his hand upon. He's always going to have a people that when he wants something to be done, he's going to have people there to get the job done. And, excuse me, Simeon and Anna were people like that. They were people that you wouldn't expect to find in that kind of a condition. People that you wouldn't expect to find in that kind of a day. When Mary came there to the temple, bringing Jesus, coming now with her turtle doves to come and dedicate him to the Lord, to come and offer her sacrifices. And everybody was so much out of the spirit. Nobody else realized what was in their midst. No one else realized the importance of what Mary had in her arms. But just at that time, God laid his hand once again on a man called Simeon and led him exactly at that time and brought him to the promise, brought him right to the Lord Jesus Christ himself. When all the other people were saying this was an illegitimate child and looking down on Mary because of all the questionable things around the message of the hour in that day, which was the Lord Jesus Christ, there was a man and things were so real to him. He was living in a different kind of a place to the rest of the people. Because the Bible says the Holy Ghost was upon him. And the thing I really love about Simeon is Simeon, obviously, he would have studied the word. He would have waited upon the Lord. He was, the prophet tells us, he was a priest. He was a real, real famous man in that day. You can read about Simeon in history. He was like that rabbi there in Israel who the Messiah appeared to just recently. They're similar. That was the kind of man that Simeon was. But Simeon, he lived such a life. He walked with God in such a way, he was so sensitive to the leadership of the Spirit that inside of his life at this critical junction in time, just when it was time for the Lord himself to step down and there was a change and the gospel was going to go from the Jews to the Gentiles, just in that season there was a man, Simeon, who was living so close to God that the word became more than just what he was reading. The word became such a personal promise. Because the Bible says that it was revealed to him by the Holy Ghost that he would not see death, but that he would see the Lord's Christ. Imagine that. Is that not wonderful? Is that not the place where you want to live? That's the place of substance when believers get to the place that you're not just reading the books. You're not just reading the word, but it becomes a personal promise to you. And in order for it to become like that, you've got to be like Simeon and you've got to be like Anna. You have a look at Anna. Look at her characteristics that the Bible speaks about. It says in verse 37, she was a widow of about 84 years. So she was an old lady, which departed not from the temple. So she wasn't the kind of sister that she only worshiped God when it was time for service. But she never departed from the temple. Even when everybody else had gone home and was speaking about all the other things of life, Anna wasn't interested in those things. There was something inside of her. There was a deep inside of her in that time that she never departed from the temple. Now, friends, we can't stay here night and day. This life that we live doesn't allow us to. But spiritually speaking, a believer can live like that. You can be at work. You can be in the car. You can be on the bus. You can be at school. And you still haven't departed from the temple. Because you are the temple of the living God. Because the same Shekinah that was dwelling in the temple then now overshadows the mercy seat of your soul. And you can stay in fellowship with him. It doesn't matter what's going on. The sisters can be doing their ironing and still not be departing from the temple. You can still have the Spirit upon you. You can still have fellowship. You can still have communion. I remember Sister Branham was saying in her testimony once, I read it, that whenever she'd have to do all the ironing, what she did, she took it as an opportunity of prayer. And each and every one of the garments that she was ironing, she would pray and make intercession for the person that she was ironing for. And I thought that is a real, real wonderful thing to do. I think to a believer, if you've got a desire inside of your heart to stay in the presence of God, you're always going to find some way to redeem the time. Now, there shouldn't really be those kind of times that you really depart from meditating upon the word or that you depart so far from the conscious presence of God. Because these kinds of people living at that junction of time, they were living that kind of a life. The Bible says she departed not from the temple, but she served God with fasting and prayers. She wasn't just praying so that other people could see her praying. She wasn't just fasting like the Pharisees so that people would say, oh, look how spiritual that person is. But the Bible says her motive and objective was right. Her prayer and her fasting was what? Serving God. She served God by doing those things. She was doing in the spirit. She was doing it the right way. And God looked down upon those things that she was doing as a service to him. And friends, that's a wonderful thing. When you find somebody's prayers can become a service to God. Because sometimes we can come and pray like we said the other week, and the first 30 minutes it cannot really be prayer. The first 30 minutes is just words and your mind is somewhere else. But if you're walking with God and you're sensitive on a daily basis, you can serve God with your prayers. Those prayers can be very, very effective. And it doesn't have to be long prayers. It doesn't have to be prayers made in certain places. Like in those days in the Bible when they would come to the sanctuary, they would come at the hour of prayer, when the priest would go in now and burn the incense before the Lord. And as the incense went before the Lord at the hour of prayer, the saints would pray at that time so that their prayers would be accepted. Friends, I'm glad that I don't live in that kind of a time. I'm glad now that any time is the hour of prayer. Paul said, pray without ceasing. What a powerful kind of a life a person will live if you pray without ceasing. That no matter what comes, it's an opportunity for prayer. That you're always looking for that kind of an opportunity. But the only way that can be, like with Simeon, is the Holy Ghost has got to be upon you. It's not natural. A natural person cannot do those things. No, people try to do it. After 1 or 2 days, you're going to run out of steam. It's not going to last. But if you're in the Spirit, it's possible. I was listening the other day to the testimony of Brother Murphy in China. And he said something so wonderful. He said, friends, you can never survive on your experiences. They'll run out. He says, so what you've got to do, you've got to feed yourself on the word between your experiences. So when the Lord comes and blesses you, say on a Sunday, or blesses you at a certain season when God draws nigh to you, feed that experience with the word. Stay in the word and let the word keep you until the next experience that God wants to give you, to the next time that he visits you. And I said, that's very wise counsel, because sometimes we have such a great blessing and we don't feed that experience. We just go away in that experience, like when Moses would go up the mountain, get himself in the Shekinah presence, and he would soak in the glory of God, and God would speak to him while he was there in the presence of God. Then Moses would come down from that place, shining with the glory of God. But as he came down and put up with the fusses of the people and went back to his normal life, the glory would diminish, the glory would fade, until he had another opportunity to get himself there in the presence of God, to soak in the Shekinah glory once again, to get into that heavenly atmosphere, to get into that heavenly dimension. Then it would recharge him once again. And it wouldn't just be the man Moses anymore. But when he had come down from there, he had to veil his face because the people could see the Shekinah glory of God shining through the mortality of that man. But he needed to continually get himself in that presence to feed that experience. And friends, I think that's the key thing. Satan's going to do everything that he can. He's going to study you. He's going to study your lifestyle. He's going to study those that are around you. He's going to study the people at college, at work. He's going to study and try to find, like with Samson, that point of weakness somehow where he can find the source of your strength. And the moment that he knows where the source of your strength is, certain people, it's getting up early in the morning. Some people are morning people. They can get up when it's still dark. When everybody else is still sleeping in the house, they can sneak downstairs and they can call upon the name of the Lord. And they can open up the word and they can have fellowship and communion with God. Other people are evening people, night people. When everyone else goes to sleep, that's their time to seek the Lord. Everybody has their own system. And what Satan wants to do is to get you away from the source of strength. He wants to get the spirit off you. Because Satan doesn't fear you and me, but he fears you and I when we're in the spirit. Because when we're in the spirit, we're going to serve the Lord. When we're in the spirit, we're going to do damage to his kingdom. Because he's going to quicken your prayers. He's going to quicken your speech. When you speak into someone, he's going to quicken it. And there's going to be light shone into the darkness of people's lives. There's going to be deliverance to the captives, the opening of eyes of the blind. Whenever that anointing is around, it's going to do something good. So Satan, his whole objective is to keep us from feeding our experience. Not to keep us looking back to things gone by and trying to rely on things gone by. Anna, she continued in the temple day and night. She fed that experience. And Simeon, although maybe the time took long, the man was an old man. It doesn't tell us when the Lord had said to him, at what age that he was when the Lord told him, you will see the Christ. But he kept the Spirit upon him. And because he kept the Spirit upon him, he kept himself in the spirit of expectancy. Because the Holy Ghost will keep you in expectation for the promises of God. You'll never get tired waiting for the promises of God if you're in the Spirit. It's when we get out of the Spirit, that's when we start saying it's taking too long. Am I ever going to receive this promise? But when the Holy Ghost is upon you, the Holy Ghost will continue to feed your faith, will continue to declare to your soul that which He's promised you. And if God promises you something, He's going to bring it to pass. And all that He asks us to do is stay in that condition, that feed that faith, feed that experience while you wait for the consolation of Israel. And that's what Simeon was waiting for. Simeon saw the condition of Israel. He saw the backslidings. He saw this, that, and the other. He saw the kind of worship that there was. But God had given him a promise. And he was waiting for the consolation of Israel. He knew God's going to come on the scene one of these days and things are going to change. God is going to visit his people. God is going to step down in the midst of human affairs. God is going to come and fulfill his promises. He could feel it in his soul that the time was near. He couldn't put his finger exactly on the day, but the Holy Ghost that was upon him had declared to him that you're going to see it. And he knew all I've got to do is keep the Spirit upon me. And there's going to come a time I'm going to see this promise fulfilled. And that's exactly the same as it is with the believer. God leads you in that kind of a way. And it had become a personal faith to Simeon. It wasn't a collective faith. There weren't many people in that day who felt the same as him. There weren't many people that the Lord had told, you will see the Christ before you die. But to Simeon, it was a personal promise. It was real to him because the Holy Ghost was upon him. And friends, without prayer, you can never stay in that condition. It's not reading that gets you there. Even listening to messages, listening, coming to church, it's good, those things. But unless you have your own personal prayer life, it's impossible to keep the Spirit on you in that kind of a way. You've got to keep feeding your faith with the Word, and you've got to keep feeding your experience with prayer. Because the Word will never be fully effective unless you prayed up. But when you prayed up, when you've been in battle now, because you know how it is. The devil comes with oppression. The devil comes with depression. The devil comes with all manner of confusion. The devil comes with all of these things and tries to anoint us. And friends, there's got to come a time once in a while you'll try to read your Bible. You'll see you're falling asleep while you're reading the Bible. You try to listen to a message. It's going in one ear, going out the other. All you can think about is the natural things of this life. Sometimes you need to call a halt. You need to put off that tape. You need to close your Bible. You need to shut yourself in the secret closet. And you need to call upon the name of the Lord. In that testimony, Brother Murphy was speaking about preaching in this one house in China. And this young man came in and he was sitting there and he says, hey, I could see this young man. He had such a long face, such a heavy face when I was preaching. And he says, and that young man came to me after and said, Brother Murphy, can I speak to you? He said, Brother Murphy, everything you preached today, I didn't understand one word. And Brother Murphy says, I really felt quite discouraged. And then that young man says, and the longer that you preached, the more heavy I felt. The more discouraged I felt. Please, can't you do something for me? And Brother Murphy said, I just had to tell that young man the truth. That I have to tell that young man that's a demon that's upon you. And you need to declare war against that demon. And that young man was saying, but can't you pray for me? He says, yes, we can pray for you. But you got to pray for yourself. Amen. You've got a desire inside of your heart for the situation to change. Amen. Because that devil's going to sit on your shoulders. He's going to sit in your life. He's going to keep tormenting you and those that are around you until something rises up within your will that you say, I don't want this anymore. And the moment that your soul starts crying out to God, God's going to respond to the cry of your soul. But there's going to be a resistance to that kind of a prayer. So Brother Murphy says, you need to pray. And he called the other brothers. They came and stood around that young man. He says, and that young man started to pray. He said, I'd just given that young man the testimony of when the prophet went into that insane asylum and told that lady she needed to pray. We know that story. We spoke of it last week. He says, and that young man at first, you could see he was struggling. He says, but there came a time when he started to cry out to the Lord. He says, and we had our eyes closed. And he says, that young man prayed so sincerely, crying out to the Lord for deliverance. He says, until my hands were wet from that young man's sweat. He had prayed so intensely. He says, and he says, I don't know how long the prayer took, but eventually he says, that young man stopped praying. And we opened our eyes and we looked, and he says, that young man said exactly the same as that woman in the insane asylum said, Brother Murphy, something's happened. Friends, is that not wonderful? When something happens. Friends, we should never go into prayer defeated and come out defeated. How can we give in to the devil like that? You go into prayer feeling discouraged. You feel something sitting upon you. You feel heavy. Your mind is confused. You come away from prayer the same way. What's it going to be like tomorrow if you leave it like that today? How are you going to go to service on a Sunday or Wednesday or Friday and receive anything from God if there's that oppressive power of the devil still inside of your life? You're going to receive nothing. You're just going to receive the crumbs that fall from the table, whereas God wants you to receive the fullness of the children's bread. That's what he wants you to receive. But friends, I do really believe that we've got to, at some kind of a stage, realize, each and every person as an individual, that the word can only ever be effective inside of your life with prayer. There's got to be prayer. And that is the missing ingredient in this age, because this age is such a busy age. Yet it's not so busy that we can't spend a lot of time on Facebook. It's not so busy that we can't spend a lot of time on the internet. That's the thing that amazes me. But friends, we need to redeem the time. We need to discipline ourselves. These people we're reading of here were disciplined kind of people. I'm sure Anna had her relatives. I'm sure at many places that she could have gone. Maybe she wasn't so rich. I'm sure she wasn't. She was serving God night and day with fasting and prayers. Maybe she lived, the prophet says, off the arms of the people. She didn't have much materially. But friend, she had something far greater than that. She had a source, a spiritual source that she had discovered. She had found a way to a fountain that would never run dry. There was a certain artesian well. There was a certain source of power that she was tapped into. And that's all that satisfied her. And whenever she would start to get away, she would start coming back once again and just say, no, it doesn't matter what it costs me in this natural life. I don't care what people say about me. Because friends, when you live that kind of a life, people think that you're mad. People think there's something wrong with you living that kind of a life. But who cares about what people think when you have the approval of heaven inside of your soul? When you have the blessing of heaven inside of your soul on a continual basis? When God is speaking to you, God is communing with you, God is real to you in your experience on a daily basis. Friends, that's worth whatever cost that we have to pay. Whatever price we have to pay, it's more than worth it. God will recompense you far more than you lose in this world, just with the blessing of communion and fellowship with Him. And one way that you know that you're getting in that place, the prophet preached about 15, 16 times the message expectations. Is that it keeps you in a spirit of expectation. Whenever you read the Bible, whenever you do something, if you are walking in the Spirit, you're walking in the spirit of expectation. You're expecting God to do something for you. You're expecting God to answer His word. You're not hoping. When you're out of the Spirit, we live in the dimension of hope. We're hoping to say, but I hope God will do it for me. But you have no evidence. You have no substance of that promise because you don't have the reality of the Spirit declaring the promise to you. You don't have something telling you personally, this is for you. Simeon had something personal. The Holy Ghost told him personally, you will see the Christ. This was a promise that was given personally to him. Friends, imagine if the rapture could be that personal to us. It can be. Why can't it be? The promise of that day was Christ to come born of a virgin. The promise of this day is for Christ to come and receive His people in the air. For us to be caught up to meet Him in the air. So how much more can He declare that promise to us? And reveal it personally to your soul to say, you will not see death before you see the Lord's Christ. And that promise could be so personal and real to you that it would govern your behavior on a daily basis. It would govern everything that you do. When you open the newspaper to see the headlines, when you look on the news to see what the headlines are, you'll see it in a different kind of a way. Because you're going to see it through the right kind of a lens. You're going to see it in the right kind of a dimension. And I'm sure Simeon, when he looked around him, he saw things completely different than all the rest of the people. The priests and all the people maybe thought in that day, everything's good. You know, we've got 500,000 people coming up to the feast. But Simeon would look and say, this is not the way that it should be. This isn't the way that things should be. Now, we're waiting for the Christ to come and set these things in order. He was living under an expectation. There was an expectancy inside of his life. That says in verse 38, and she coming in that instant gave thanks likewise unto the Lord. Don't you love being in that kind of a condition or seeing people in that kind of a condition that the Lord can lead you to come to the right place just at the right time? And you look back afterwards and say, but how was that possible? How did that ever work for me to be just in that place to meet that person, whatever the situation is? It's exactly the same as the Lord was dealing with Simeon and Anna. When Christ was in the temple that day, both of them, the Lord led them both individually to come exactly at the right time. Just in that instant they came. God could lead them so precisely to the promise. And that is the real promise of God. Because they were living in that kind of a dimension. It says in verse 38, she coming in that instant gave thanks likewise unto the Lord and spake of him to all them that looked for redemption in Jerusalem. She was a witness. Something was real to her. And because it was real to her, she could make it real to other people. Because it was something that was being declared to her. She had a substance. She had something in her experience. She had a reality of what God was doing. Present tense with her at that time. Therefore, she could go to other people. And I'm sure when she witnessed to other people, there was a weight in her testimony. There was something beyond just witnessing, because you know you've got to speak to somebody about the Lord because you didn't speak to somebody for a while. But when she spoke, there was a present tense reality in what she was saying. Now it says about Jesus, it says when Jesus preached the word, how the Pharisees said, what manner of man is this? He preaches the word with authority. There was an authority in what he said. It wasn't what they were used to hearing. And friends, when you are in the Spirit, there's an authority in the things that you say. When you declare something to somebody, when you say something to somebody, when you witness to somebody, it's going to leave a lasting impact in the life of that person. Because it's not just you, it's that unction. There's something of God, something divine, which has been imparted from you to somebody else. And I'm sure when she came and declared to the people that day, there was a real witness in the souls of the people that they knew that this is something different. You know, we've heard lots of things said about this woman, Anna, but hey, have you ever spoken to her before? Because when you speak to her, there's something different about her. She can make the word real, very, very present tense and real when you speak to her. And it's wonderful to fellowship with people like that. It's wonderful to fellowship with people that when you fellowship with them, the word becomes present tense. God becomes real. That you leave that fellowship also with a spirit of expectation. You also have an expectation that, hey, if God did that for him, why can't God do that for me? Because God will never let you down. God will never ever encourage your faith to believe something that he doesn't intend to give to you. God would never have come to Simeon and said, Simeon, you're going to see the Christ, if God didn't have a concrete plan to make sure that he saw the Christ. God knew. When God gives you the personal promise, when God quickens something to you personally, it's an evidence that that thing is for you. It's an evidence that God intends to give you that promise. Just keep the Spirit upon you. Just feed your experience. Just keep waiting for the consolation of Israel. And just like Simeon, the time's going to come that the Lord's going to lead you to that promise just at the right season. And imagine it was even far greater than Simeon could have ever dreamed. Simeon thought, maybe one day I'm going to see the Christ. But it went a lot more personal than that. He went and he took Jesus in his arms and he held Jesus to his bosom. And he prayed and he blessed the Lord. That is how personal that promise became to him. That is how real the promise became. That is how it was fulfilled in such a personal way inside of his life. And then he said, Lord, let your servant depart in peace, for my eyes have seen your salvation. A light to lighten the Gentiles and the glory of your people Israel. Friends, and I'm sure from there he just went and he rested, Lord, my eyes have seen your salvation. And I don't think he would have lived much longer than that because God had given him that promise. And he lived under the expectation of that promise. That was the thing that was governing him on a daily basis. That was the focus of his thoughts. That was the focus of his life. He wanted to see the fulfillment of the word in his day. And surely it's got to be the same as us, friends. Same like Anna. And an old lady like that, but look what she was living for. Look at the dimension that she was living in. You know, the name Anna is the same as the name Hannah. Amen. It comes exactly the same name in the Bible. And she was a real Hannah. Because Hannah also had an expectation in her day. Hannah had heard many of the promises. Maybe God had blessed her in different ways. But she knew there's something more in my life. There was a deep inside of Hannah. There was a deep inside of Simeon. There was a deep inside of Anna. Each of them knew there's a reality of God that I haven't yet experienced. There's a fulfillment, a personal fulfillment of promises that something's declaring it to me. I haven't got there yet. And Hannah inside of herself, the prophet says it in that message expectation. He says, even if there wasn't one promise in the Bible for divine healing, or for someone to meet the glory of God, you would know that it's true, that a man can be healed because of the hunger in the hearts of people. Amen. The hunger in a human heart, the hunger in the soul of a person is proof that there's something there to meet the hunger. Amen. You wouldn't have the hunger if there wasn't something there to minister to your hunger. You wouldn't be thirsting for more of God tonight if there wasn't more of God wanting to declare itself to you. It's the deep that's calling to the deep. Amen. There's something out there and there's something inside of you. And God wants those two things to come together. Amen. He wants the desire that you have to come right into communion and fellowship with that which is going to fulfill the desire. And that's why you'll hunger and thirst. But sometimes we try to satisfy the hunger with this. We try to satisfy the thirst with that. But if you are ordained like Simeon and Anna, if you ordained like Hannah in the Old Testament for something, you will never be able to rest. You will never have the fullness of rest and satisfaction inside of your soul. As long as you haven't come to that place that the deep inside of you is telling you it's there. The deep inside of you witness to you all the time, there's more of God. There's deeper fulfillment of his promises. He can be more real. I want God to be more real. If you're thirsting for God to be more real to you tonight, it's because God has put that thirst in you. Because God wants to be more real to you. Why is the world not wanting the reality of God? Why is there no hunger and thirst in the souls of people out there? Very few people hunger and thirst for God. It's God who has to awaken the desire. It's God who has to create the deep inside of you. Then He's the one who wants to come and fulfill the need that deep is declaring to you. And you'll never fully be satisfied without that. You'll never. You'll try your education. You'll try money. You'll try popularity. You'll try this, that, and the other. But it doesn't satisfy. The only thing that satisfies is meeting the author of the hunger. Is a personal meeting with Him that put that hunger and thirst inside of your soul. And that's what it was like with Hannah. Hannah knew, it's wonderful, my husband. It's wonderful the way that he supports me, the way that he encourages me, all the things that he does. I love coming to the tabernacle in Shiloh. I appreciate the believers. I appreciate the priesthood. I appreciate the feast days. These things have encouraged me many times. But Hannah inside of herself, there was something inside of her that was thirsting for something more. She couldn't be satisfied. She was restless. And maybe her husband would ask her many times, why are you so restless? Why can't you just be like other people and just accept things the way that they are? Your womb is barren. Just leave it the way that it is. Am I not more precious to you than 10 sons? It was good. He was trying to fellowship with her. He was trying to minister to the need that was inside of her. But friends, there's certain things that God puts inside of us that people will never minister to that need. Because God put the desire in us. He put the thirst in us. And He's the only one that can satisfy that thirst. And she came up that year to the tabernacle. And she said, this is going to be different this year. I'm tired of coming every time and going back every time. And I've still got this hunger and thirst inside of my soul. I want to seek Him this time. If He will minister an entrance to me. If He will open the way to me. I'm going to seek Him this time until I find Him. I'm going to seek him until he takes this thirst and this desire away from me. And she came up that day, and friends, when you've got that cry inside of your soul, when your soul is thirsting for more of God, when your soul is crying out for more of the unfailing realities of the living God, friends, it's not going to take long until you meet him. Just feed that experience. Just feed that desire. Don't grieve the spirit off you. Don't get yourself caught up in all the foolish things of the world. Just keep your focus on that. And she came there that day, and there were many things there with Hannah that could have discouraged her. The other women were laughing at her, saying all manner of things. Maybe it's because she's got secret sin in her life and what. It wasn't nice. It even brought her to tears many times. You read the Bible. It vexed her soul. She was troubled. She was distressed inside of herself. But it was just God bringing her to that stage that she would lay everything down and say, Lord, whatever it is that you desire, all I'm asking of you, you come and minister to this deep that's inside of me. And when she came that day and she knelt there by those curtains as close as she could get to the Shekinah glory of God, I'm sure as she drew near that place, as she got closer and closer to Shiloh that year, there was something inside of her soul that was declaring it to her. As she got nearer and nearer, and when everybody else was eating that night and she didn't eat, she says, I don't want to eat. I want to seek the Lord. And when everybody else was going about their business, they'd done their rituals, they'd done whatever was expected of them at the feast, she went beyond what other people did. And she went personally herself to pray. She went herself. And there was Eli sitting by the post that side, and she came as close as she could to the mercy seat. She came as close as she could. And I'm sure that spiritually there was something opened up to her that time. There was a certain channel of communication, a certain divine something in a certain dimension that opened up between the Shekinah glory of God and her. And God spoke to her soul and said, if you seek me with all your heart now, I will be found of you. And I will deliver you from this captivity. I will deliver you from this condition that you're in. And she went there that day and she didn't even have to pray with her words. The Bible says only her lips moved. Because prayer is an attitude of the heart. Prayer is a cry from the soul. And she started to wrestle with God in prayer that day. And then she went away, the Bible says, and she was no longer sad. Because it had been declared to her that she wasn't going to die until she saw the promise. Until she saw the Son herself, a personal promise, having been fulfilled in her personal life. And that's the only thing that fully satisfies, friends. Other people's testimonies are wonderful. They can encourage your faith. They can quicken your faith. But the only thing that really satisfies is your personal testimony. Is when you personally possess the promise for yourself. The prophet says about Job. He says, until Job got on the ash heap that day, he said he knew there was a redeemer. He knew that God was a redeemer. But after that time on the ash heap, he says, I know that my Redeemer. I know my Redeemer lives. And though the skin worms eat this body, yet in my flesh I shall see him for myself and not another. And friends, I don't believe that you should ever be satisfied or try to quench that holy thirst that God has put inside of us by accepting something else. If there's a deep inside of you, it shows God's wanting to minister to you in a deep way. He wants to pour out of his deep to minister to your deep. And there comes the certain season of the promise where God draws near. Like the Lord said to Abraham, at about the time of the life, I'm going to come back to Sarah. There's a certain time that God is appointed to come to fulfill his promise. And how wonderful it was that at that time when the Lord came to fulfill the promise for Simeon, Simeon had the Spirit upon him. And when the Holy Ghost told him, rise up. He knew that day there was something different. Maybe when he was reading the word that day, he was saying, my, the presence of God is so near today. What does this mean? And then just in the midst of the day, maybe 9 o'clock in the morning, whatever, the Lord spoke to him, rise up. Amen. And he was so sensitive. He was so yielded to the Lord that when the Lord said, rise up, he rose up. And he came straight to where Jesus was. And he received the fulfillment of the promise. Friends, it's a wonderful thing to read of those things. But it's far greater to experience it. It's far greater to experience it for yourself. But like I say, sometimes there's got to be a declaration of war upon the spiritual principles and forces that keep us back from those things. Sometimes it's a spirit of criticism. Sometimes it's a spirit of unbelief. Sometimes it's a spirit of sickness. Sometimes it's a spirit of whatever, depression, whatever it is. But there's always going to be a spiritual resistance to try to keep you from the promises of God. There's always going to be a time just before you get to the promise that Satan's going to pour everything that he possibly can. When you decide to seek the Lord, let's say you decide I'm going to fast, you'll have a headache that day. Like Brother Rene was saying that time that he wanted to seek the Lord and then he got so sick. It's normal, those kind of things, friends. But there's got to be a perseverance at that kind of a time. And I think sometimes, saints, we need to recognize the devil as the devil. Amen. He can hide behind all manner of terms medically. He can hide behind all manner of terms and names psychologically. But I think sometimes you've got to look beyond all of those things. And we've got to see the devil. Because anything which is hindering us from the promises of God, anything that's trying to hinder us from the reality of God, anything that's trying to hinder you from having that deep satisfied inside of you, it's the devil. No matter how else we try to dress it up, no matter what other labels that we give to it, but the force, the intelligence behind what is against you is the devil. And in order to overcome your enemy, you've got to first recognize him. Because if you don't see it as the devil, you're never going to overcome the devil. You've got to know your enemy. And friends, anything that wants to hold you back from fulfilling your calling, it's the devil. Amen. It may dress up in your family. It may dress up in the form of your relatives. May dress up in your boss at work. May dress up in all manner of things. But it's the devil behind it. And you will see it by its fruits. Its fruits are what? To keep you from the promises of God. To keep you from fulfilling what God put you on this earth to fulfill. And friends, it's sometimes a good thing to gird up your loins. To go and look at yourself in the mirror. The prophet says, look at yourself in the mirror sometimes and see maybe Satan is deceiving your thinking. It's this deceived thinking, decisions that we make. And you'll see it by the fruits that come from it, that it wasn't God that led us to make those kind of decisions. But it was the devil that wants to influence us, to keep us away from the promises of God. So that's why you've got to be like Simeon and Anna. You've got to feed your experience. Feed your faith. And then you've got to also declare war against the things that come against you. And Anna, she departed not from the temple night and day. Imagine that kind of a life. You know what it's like. We read about it last week. Staying there. When the prophet says each night it becomes more and more glorious. Imagine if you would get up tomorrow in the morning, you'd shut yourself in your secret closet, you'd call upon the name of the Lord until you meet him. Then you'd get yourself in the word and then you'd go about your business. And then you'd come back in the evening and you'd shut yourself in the secret closet and you'd call upon the name of the Lord once again. And then you would wait upon him in his word, fellowship, do whatever you want. Do the same thing the next day. Do the same thing the next day. I guarantee you're not going to go many days down the way until you're going to break through into something that you've never broken through into before. But it takes a spiritual momentum. And the devil's going to try to keep you from getting that momentum. He doesn't mind if once in a while we shake ourselves and we run around and we do this, that, and that, then we go back to sleep once again. But what he doesn't want is that spiritual momentum. He didn't mind Samson once in a while doing what he did. He didn't mind. As long as he could keep snaring him in the midst. Until the man didn't have the consistency. He couldn't fully perform what God wanted him to fulfill inside of his life. And that's what the devil wants to do. But I'm glad in the Bible there was someone like Joshua. And you find that man, Joshua, was so consistent in his walk. He was so consistent in his calling. He meditated there and night and day, like the Bible says. He didn't turn to the left hand or to the right. He wasn't easily sidetracked from his calling. He didn't quickly get himself caught up in unnecessary things that would mar his experience with God. But Joshua kept the prize before him. He had a focus and a goal. And he knew what God had called him to do. And I'm sure he had learned from the mistakes of the past, the 40 years in the wilderness, all the things that he had seen. And that's when the Lord said, Moses, I've raised up Joshua now. It's time for him to take his position. He's going to lead the people in. Friends, that man has an inspiring life. He was the great general, Joshua, because he kept his focus. He kept himself in the battle until the battle was complete. And that's the way that it's got to be, friends. Don't rest as long as the devil's still got a foothold inside of your life. The other things may be going all right inside of your life, and yet there's a certain aspect that the devil's got a hold of. That's the thing that'll continue to pull you down. That's the thing that'll continue to discourage you inside of your faith. Sometimes you need to put your focus on that and say, Lord, no. It's time for me now to possess the fullness of my inheritance, to possess this part of my inheritance that the devil is trying to camp in. But friends, it's going to be a warfare in that. It's a spiritual warfare. It's got to be like that. And without prayer and without the word, it's impossible. Because they that worship God must worship him in spirit and in truth. You've got to worship him in spirit and in truth. And the great weakness of the believers in the Western world is prayer. I've really seen that. The devil wants to attack your prayer life, friends. Don't you find it? He wants to keep you from that kind of a prayer. He doesn't mind just the 5-minute kind of a prayer. But he doesn't want that kind of a prayer that you seek God until you find him. He doesn't want that kind of prayer that you really get yourself to the throne of grace, where you have fellowship and communion with him. Where when you come back from that place, things are different inside of your life. That it's done something for you. That it leaves an effect that's going to last today and tomorrow and the next day. He doesn't want us to come to that place where we can pray through until God can speak to us. The prophet says how hard it is these days for someone to say, God spoke to me. No, for someone to really receive fresh battle orders from the Lord. It's not an easy thing to find anymore. Ask yourself inside of your life, when did the Lord really speak to me? And what did he really say? Because friends, that's your victory. Amen. That personal communication of God to you is where you're going to get your victory. That's where he's going to direct your footsteps. That's where he's going to give you the plan of battle. That's when he's going to say to you like David, wait, David, until you hear the sound in the mulberry trees. Then go to battle with the Philistines because I've gone before. It was personal orders that David received from the Lord. In those days of the Bible when they had the Urim Thummim, and they would come before the priest, and the priest had those stones. And then a dreamer would tell his dream, or a person would tell their prophecy, or a person would inquire of the Lord like David would inquire. No, is Saul going to come against me in this place? And they would take out the Urim and Thummim, and there'd be a supernatural light that would shine through those stones. And God would answer in a supernatural light. Friends, when you really get yourself close to the Lord, like Simeon and Anna, when you take the word and you start seeking the Lord, there's going to be a supernatural light that shines through. Because this is now our Urim and Thummim. This is the way that God is going to speak to us. He's going to quicken certain things to you until that word becomes a personal promise to you. Until you will know, God spoke that to me. That's the word of God personally to me. And the Bible says, a word in season. How good it is for God to give you a word in season. Don't you find it many times, friends, that there's a lot of wasted opportunity, a lot of wasted time? You get up in the morning, you want to listen to a message. You have no leadership in which message to listen to. You put on something that's totally unrelated to the circumstances of what you're going through. You get to the end of it all and you find, but hey, what did the Lord really say to me there? Or you just open up your Bible, you find a random verse, but it's got nothing inside of there to minister to the condition that you're in at this time. There's nothing inside of there at that time which is the bread of life to feed your soul, which is the angel's food that God gave to Elijah that gave him strength to go 40 days and 40 nights. But when you seek the Lord first and you say, Lord, what is it that you want me to read? Lord, what is it that you desire for me to listen to? The same God that led Simeon and the same God that led Anna to the word in their day is going to lead you as well. He will show you exactly. And it's so wonderful when you find that word in season. It's so wonderful when that word, you just say, I'm going to keep listening to this because this keeps ministering to me. Or you got that portion or that life story in the Bible or whatever that it is. And it's a personal promise to you. There's a virtue, there's an unction and anointing in that word. And that unction and anointing is feeding your experience. And the more you feed upon that, the more real God is becoming to you. And that quickens you now that when you go to pray, there's that quickening power in your prayer. And the quickening power in your prayer now brings you back to the word. And if you can keep that momentum going, if you can keep in that cycle, Nothing's going to hold you down. Nothing's going to hold you back. But it needs the spirit of perseverance. It really does, friends. We know that. You've got to have perseverance in this Christian walk. You've got to be determined. It's like a soldier in the war. You can't just put your gun down the first time that you get a scratch. You've got to have perseverance. You've got to be determined to see it through right to the end. And sometimes we should look inside of our lives and say, what enemy is this? What hindrance is this inside of my life? And say, now I'm going to declare war on this. And I'm not putting my sword down until I've come to the end of this battle. I'm going to see this through by the grace of God right to the end. And see how the Lord will minister to you in that situation. God will confirm His word left, right, and center. God will encourage your faith. God will encourage you. And you'll find that you'll possess the promises. Let's read one more. Let's read the book of Daniel, chapter 9, just to see the same principle once again. These people living at these junctions in time. Daniel was living in a junction. Babylon had just been destroyed. Cyrus had risen up. It was time for the children of God to be restored back to their land. It was the time of restoration. The 70 years of captivity were coming to an end. So Daniel in chapter 9, we know the verse as well, verse 1. In the first year of Darius, the son of Ahasuerus, of the seed of the Medes, which was made king over the realm of the Chaldeans, in the first year of his reign, remember we saw it last week, Darius came in, the handwriting on the wall, Darius came and destroyed Belshazzar. So it was immediately after that, Daniel could see the judgments of God in the earth. God is judging Babylon. This means it's time soon for us to be set free, for us to go back. But what did he do? Verse 2, in the first year of his reign, I, Daniel, understood by books the number of the years. He gave himself to the word. Friends, he fed himself on the word. He fed his faith. He knew the time is near. He could sense that God was about to do something for his people. But he didn't just take it for granted. He just didn't leave it that kind of a way. But what did he do? He fed his experience on the word. I, Daniel, understood by books the number of the years whereof the word of the Lord came to Jeremiah the prophet, that he would accomplish 70 years in the desolations of Jerusalem. He saw, hey, the word is so real. The time has come. He would look around him and see the natural events, the current events taking place, and he would see them in the word. And God made it so real to him that the time had come. Something was declaring itself to him. But to Daniel, it wasn't enough. It wasn't enough just to know the promise. It wasn't enough even for the promise to be quickened to him. What did he do? Verse 3, and I set my face unto the Lord God to seek by prayer and supplications. You see what he did? He knew the time has come. And when you know the time is near, when you can sense inside of your own experience that God is wanting to do something inside of your life once again, what should you do? Feed that with prayer. Amen. Give yourself even more to prayer at those kinds of times. When you're right on the verge of the promises being fulfilled, instead of praying less, you should be like Daniel. Pray more. Amen. God always leads his people to pray just before he blesses them. And there's a good reason for that. Because if God blessed us when we're in the flesh, we get proud. We think it's us. We think it's because of our goodness. We think we deserved it. But when you're prayerful, when you're in the spirit, you have a spirit of humility. Amen. So God can pour blessing upon you and it's not going to do any damage to you. And it's not going to damage the people that are around and about you. That's why before the Lord fulfills his promises, before he comes to really bless his people, he pours out the spirit of prayer and supplication. It was like that in the first Exodus down in Egypt. What did the people do? God poured out the spirit of prayer and supplication. And the people started to cry unto the Lord. And the Lord had respect unto the people. And God remembered his promises. But you'll always find, I remember once speaking at a prayer meeting, that prayer is the forerunner of God's blessings. It always is. And that's how when God is drawing near to you, when you feel there's a time of visitation inside of your soul, give yourself to prayer, like Daniel. Study in the books and then give yourself to prayer. And it wasn't just normal prayer. What kind of prayer was it? Look at the beginning of verse 3. I set my face unto the Lord God. What is it to set your face? That's a determination. That's not just, yeah, okay, let me see, maybe it'll work. The man was in a condition that when you're setting your face, you're saying, I'm getting down to business now. When I go to pray here, I'm not coming back with no for an answer. It's you setting your face. You're clenching your teeth. That's what you would say in English. It's like you're gritting your teeth. You're determined. I'm going through. Because he could feel that the time was near. That God was visiting his people. That there was a potential for God to do great things for the people. But he didn't just take it for granted that God was going to do it. Although God had given the promises that they were going to be delivered after 70 years. Daniel knew it's not enough to do that. And he yielded himself to that spirit of supplication. And he gave himself over to prayer and supplication with fasting and sackcloth and ashes. Verse 4, and I prayed unto the Lord my God and made my confession. You see what the spirit of grace does upon a person? You start looking at yourself the way that God looks at you. You know, when you're out of prayer, you might think you're such a righteous person. But when you really start drawing nigh to the Lord, you'll have a lot of things to confess. And what did he confess? He says, O Lord, verse 4, O Lord, the great and dreadful God, keeping the covenant and mercy to them that love him and to them that keep his commandments, we have sinned and have committed iniquity and have done wickedly and have rebelled, even by departing from thy precepts and from thy judgments. Neither have we hearkened unto thy servants the prophets. What a man Daniel was. Imagine the life the man lived. Imagine all the testimonies of the past. Imagine all the things God had done for this man. But when he felt now it was time for God to fulfill his promises, he wanted to make everything right with God. He didn't want to leave anything to chance. He wanted everything under the blood. He wanted to burn his bridges. He wanted to be prayerful. He wanted to feed himself upon the promises for his day. The promises of Jeremiah concerning exactly that day. And he got himself right into that realm. And what was the result? Verse 20. And while I was speaking and praying and confessing my sin and the sin of my people Israel, and presenting my supplication before the Lord my God for the holy mountain of my God, yea, while I was speaking in prayer, even the man Gabriel, whom I'd seen in the vision in the beginning, being caused to fly swiftly, touched me about the time of the evening oblation. The answer found him in prayer. And friends, how many times does the answer come like that? When you're not sure what to do, you don't know how to handle something, you're discouraged with this, you're angry with that, you're disappointed with the other. Let the answer find you in prayer. And he was making supplication. He wasn't blaming everybody else. He wasn't speaking about the backslidings of his brethren. In Babylon, what was he doing? I was confessing my sins and the sins of my father's house. And he was making confession unto the Lord because he knew that the time had come. And while he was in prayer, in the spirit of prayer and supplication, God sent the heavenly messenger, sent Gabriel right to him with a personal promise to him, a spirit of wisdom, a spirit of revelation, a spirit of understanding. And that's when everything became clear to him. And how good God is. The prophet says, when Gabriel came to him, Daniel was saying, Lord, the 70 years are almost finished. What are we supposed to do? The Lord came and showed him the 70 weeks of Daniel. Showed him the entire program of God right from that day, right to the ushering in of the millennium. That's what God does. He gives you far more than you even expect when you put yourself in that kind of a position. He'll pour so much inside of your experience that you say, but Lord, surely you are more than able to do exceedingly abundantly above more than we could ask or think. But it found him in a certain spiritual condition. And friends, at these junctions in time, like where Daniel was, where Simeon and Anna were, those are times where we need prayer. We need to be prayerful. We need to stay in the Word. We need not to depart from the temple. We need to get the Spirit upon us. We need to be in the spirit of expectation. We need the expectations and leadings of the Spirit, like the prophet says. We need to be sensitive at those kind of times. And friends, the darker it gets out there, the more God would declare his promises to us here. To, like it was with Simeon and Anna. No matter how dark it was out there, God always wants to have a remnant. God will always have a people that he's declaring himself to. God will always have a people that is real to, even when he's not real to the rest of the people. And friends, when we look inside of the scripture, just before we come now to a time of prayer, when you look inside of the word, what is your type and pattern in the word? Where do you find yourself? Don't you want to see yourself even in a measure in the life of Simeon? Don't you want as a sister to see yourself as Anna? Don't you want to see yourself as Daniel? To say, I know Daniel is my brother because I've experienced the same thing. Anna is my sister because I've experienced the same thing. I may not have experienced it as much as other people, but I know that's the truth because I've experienced that for myself. And like Simeon, to be in that kind of a condition with the Spirit upon you, that God can lead you straight to the word, lead you straight to the promise, lead you straight to the fulfillment of what he's promised to you. What a wonderful condition it is, friends. And the devil robs us of it. With what? The foolishness of sport, the foolishness of politics, the foolishness of fashion, the foolishness of the internet, the news of this day. Friends, we fill ourselves up with so many other things and we keep ourselves from so much blessing in the presence of God. Whereas if we could just set our faces like Daniel and say, Lord, I'm going to lay these things aside for a season. Because if you read chapter 10, if you keep going, Daniel ate no pleasant food for 21 days. Because something was revealed to him that he didn't understand. And he went, the prophet says, he went with his chariot down to the river, sent the driver back to the palace and says, I'll call you when I need you. And he stayed there by the river Hiddekel for 21 days, seeking the Lord. Maybe just going back in the evenings, eating just no pleasant food. He said, just enough to keep himself going. But he had set his face. He was determined. And imagine at the end of those 21 days when Gabriel came down and said, I was trying to get the promise to you, but I couldn't get through. But Michael, he personally intervened on your behalf. How wonderful that that is, friends. Christ himself being so moved, being so touched by what you're doing that he intervenes on your behalf. I believe that he's done it many times. Friends, at these kind of junctions, where I got just this thought when I was thinking about that song of Brother Uber Walker, when he says, we quoted it the other day, he says, Lord, at these junctions, we need more of your unction to teach us to function the way that we ought to. And it's the truth. At the junctions when God is going to fulfill his word, we need more prayer at those times. We need more unction at those times. We need to be more sincere at the time when the fulfillment of the promise is drawing near. And each of these people, they responded when God drew near. They could sense God is going to do something. And they laid everything else aside. They set their faces. They sought the Lord. And God never disappointed them. He never let them down. They experienced what God had promised for them. And let that be our testimony as well, friends. Let's come to a time of prayer. Let's stand. Just ask Brother George if he'd come. Let's sing one chorus. Maybe you need to wrestle and pray a little bit against the devil. I'm not saying here is enough. That prayer closet at home is the real place. That is the place of warfare. That is the place of victory. Whatever the need that we have, let's just put ourselves before the Lord for a while, saints, before we dismiss. Let's sing that one. Sorry, Brad. Let's sing that one. Praise awaits thee in Zion, O Lord. Praise awaits you in Zion. To you our heart will all be fulfilled. Praise awaits you in Zion. Direct your ways, praise awaits
Mount up with wings as
Call upon his name. Let's wait upon the Lord. Whatever your desire, why don't you just bring yourself before him now? Set your face to the Lord. Whatever tries to hinder you, just don't take no for an answer. You just seek the Lord. Let's call upon his name this night. Father, we do thank you, Lord, that you are good. Father, that your promises are real, that your promises are true. Is anybody here that has a prayer request tonight? Anybody that has a request? If you just want to say it for us, Brother George, you have a request, bro? I just have one for one person that I'm working with at work. His name is Chris Jones. He's got a real problem with his back. He's a real unbeliever. So just the other day at work, I was speaking to him, and he was telling me about his mother, who's a Catholic, and how she's been praying for his back. And she says, but it hasn't made any difference. And he was telling me there's no God and all these things. And I said, Chris, I said, he's real. I said, I've seen him so many times manifest himself. And he said to me, that guy, Chris, says, okay, Andrew, I'll put it to you. I said, if you pray for me and the Lord does something for my back, I'll come to your church. That's what he said. So I said, okay, if you're sincere about it, if you're not a critic, I'll do that. So the other night I went out to the woods and I really prayed for him. And I just asked the Lord. And then I left it. I said, well, let me see if he's hungry or thirsty. And he came to me today and he said, Andrew. I said, what? He says, did you pray for me? So I said, why? He said, my back's so much better. He says, I jumped out the car yesterday in the morning and my wife said to me, said, hey, you haven't managed to move like that for a long time. So I said, Chris, I did pray for you. And I said, I'm going to church tonight. We have a prayer meeting at church tonight. I'm going to ask the saints to pray for you as well. I said, because I believe you're sincere and I believe God wants to reveal himself to you, that he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. And I told him the testimony of Sister Tariro when she had her back and she was supposed to go for the second operation. She didn't have to go. And I told him about Brother George and his children and different testimonies. And I said, God is real. I said, if you're thirsty, he'll answer you. But I said, but I'm going to ask the saints at church. I said, because so many times they've prayed and God has honored their prayer. So his name is Chris Jones. And I'm asking if you'd really pray for him. He's a very sincere guy. He's been brought up a Catholic and so forth. He's been turned away from religion. But I do believe it would be an opportunity for the Lord to minister something to him. So please pray for him. He's got his vertebrae in between. Something's burst in the middle. And so like the vertebrae are together, he's taken these real powerful painkillers. And he just went for a scan this week. And I don't know what they were wanting to do. But I just told him, I said, I'll ask the saints to pray for you. So maybe just as we close, if the saints wouldn't mind praying for him. Anybody else? Brother Max? Yes. That's wonderful. I think it really is the Lord that, because even me, I was so much feeling for him today. Let's remember Denzel, that the Lord really bring him out from that. Brother George.
A young girl, Brother David's niece, she lives in Liverpool.
Yeah.
And after church, she came to our house about 4 o'clock. And she's had 3 miscarriages, if I might be wrong. She's had miscarriages and all those things. So how we got speaking about it is because she deleted her Facebook profile and I asked her why. And when she explained, it was quite touching that the Lord came down and I told her all the testimonies of a woman in Poland, how we had children, and she started crying in the house.
What's her name? Which one?
Her name is Denise.
Denise.
From Liverpool. Uh-huh. Maybe you may not know. So we said to her, look, we will pray.
Yeah.
Because to us, we believe we'll get a child.
Amen.
But we will pray and we long and we wait.
Amen.
And when you tell us.
It's Brother Scott's niece, yeah?
Yes.
Let's pray for Denise, Brother Scott's niece. She's in Liverpool. Lord, of miscarriages, let's pray the grace of God to visit her, that it might be an open door that she may come to know the Lord. She needs grace. Brother Pele?
Back home. So on Wednesday there was a strong rain, there was a wind and took all the roof.
Too bad.
And damaged many things.
Amen. Let's pray for Cicely's mom on that. Back home, they just need the grace of God to help them at this time. With that great storm, took the roof off the house and so forth. So let's pray for them. Anybody else? Brother Eli? Let's pray for Sister B with the bones in her legs. Brother Will. Amen. 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 Brother Mike? Amen. 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 That's Brother Mike's neighbor, Lucas, from Poland, also needing a child. So friends, let's come once again before the Lord. I think we've put ourselves before the Lord. Let's come like Daniel. Let's make supplications before the Lord on behalf of these people. So there's Chris Jones, the guy from my work, Lucas, Brother Mike's, the sister that Brother Will was speaking to, Denzel, our brother. It's time for him to be set free. Sister Bibi with her bones, Brother Scott's niece. Anybody else? Amen. Let's pray for Delane and his girlfriend. You know, they had a child that they'll come on Sunday. Tony's invited them to come on Sunday. Anybody else? Anybody else? Okay, saints, let's come before the Lord. The Bible says the affectionate, fervent prayer of a righteous man or woman makes tremendous power available. That's what it literally means. And I do believe if we agree tonight, put these things before the Lord, the Lord will start moving in each of these things. Let's all pray and put these things before the Lord. Father, I thank you once again that you've given us chance, that you've given unto us opportunity to come unto thee upon this night. I thank you, Father, that you Father, we thank you in your word that you have said that if we agree together, Lord, even just two of us on earth, and Father, we come upon this night before your throne of grace. Father, not because of any merits in ourselves, but Father, we come in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. We come because of the merits of Calvary, Lord. We come because salvation, Lord, redemption. Father, it's of the Lord. And Father, we put our faith and we put our trust in thee. And Father, we just want to bring every one of these situations up unto thee upon this night. In your precious name, we seek and ask and pray. For Sister Bibi, Lord, I just pray even now, Father, may your word of healing just go forth. Father, you said in your word that you sent your word and you healed them. Let it be so according to your word, we pray. May you prevail and overcome as you did on the cross. In her, I pray, Father, that you may be glorified. Father, we do pray for Sister Lily. I pray for her mother. I pray for that situation. Father, Lord, we just ask of thee for your grace. Lord, when other people would be in trouble in that area and wouldn't have a solution. Father, you are the solution. We just pray that you would just do something, Lord, that Father, you would just minister your grace and minister your mercy to help them through a difficult situation, Lord, that they may come out and say, surely something has happened here. That there's something different between the way our things went and the way other people's things went. May you glorify your name, we ask and pray. Father, I pray for this man, Lucas, Lord. Father, Lord, we just look unto thee. We see so many examples in the Bible, Lord. Father, we see Hannah, we see Sarah, we see Elizabeth, Lord. And Father, just you are so wonderful, Lord, in the things that you do. Father, we bring this man, we bring his wife unto thee. We ask of thee, Lord, that you administer mercy and grace. We pray that you would just reveal yourself, that, Lord, you just outstretch your wondrous hand, Lord, to make yourself known, to do something, we pray. For this girl, Denise, as well, Father, the same situation. Lord, these things are nothing for you. Father, we just pray, use these things for your glory. Father, let there be something that should minister an entrance to these people, that they may know you. Lord, we just pray for that situation. For this man, Chris Jones, I dedicate him to thee as well. Father, I just pray, Lord, that you'll just continue to work inside of his life. Just pray that you'll just take this, Lord, and use it, Lord, as something, Lord, to glorify your name. To Father, Lord, just reveal yourself to him that you're real. That, Father, you care for him, Lord. That, Father, your eyes are upon him as well. That you don't want him to live that kind of a life. But, Lord, that you want him to come unto you. I pray for your grace upon him, Lord. Just extend you. And we pray for Delane, Lord, and his girlfriend. Bring them along, Lord. Father, let the deep speak unto the deep. And, Father, how we pray that you'd reveal yourself and make yourself known unto them. That, Lord Jesus, even as in the Bible days, you would go down to the woman at the well. You'd go down to Matthew's house, Lord. You'd go down to the Pharisees and the publicans because you said that you've come to call the sinners to repentance. Lord, I just pray that the same Jesus would go down even now to the souls of these people. Father, to bring them unto yourself once again, Father, how we dedicate them to thee. And Father, our brother Denzel, we bring him up unto thee. Father, how the devil would hide, Lord, in these circumstances, Lord. How, Father, he would desire to do his work. But Father, we bring this situation up unto thee upon this day. Father, you are the same one, Lord, that looked down with angry eyes at the Red Sea. Father, you are the same one, Lord. And Father, Pharaoh's army were drowned, Lord. And how Miriam and them, they rejoiced that day and they said, our enemies that tormented us, we shall see them no more. Father, bring that circumstance so that speak unto his soul, we'd pray. Quicken his faith, Lord. And Father, we just unite, we agree together as your people upon this night to say, Lord, to the enemy that it's enough. Lord, we just pray. Reach out your hand of grace, Lord, upon this night. Lord, touch him. Let there be a turning point, Lord, we'd ask and pray. Let it be from that time, Lord. And Father, we will return to give unto you the praise and the honor and the glory. And any other needs upon this night, Lord, any other petitions, we bring them before thee, Lord. Father, have mercy upon your people, we'd pray. Bring us back, Lord, on Sunday. Father, watch over us as we go tonight. Bless us in the new day tomorrow. And Father, we thank you that you've given us a chance to meet in your name. May you be glorified, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. 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 God bless you, saints. Let's just finish with one chorus there, brothers.
Take the name of Jesus with you, child of sorrow and of woe.
souls in John. When his loving arms receive